It's all good. You got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. And I believe the Lord's about to start something very new right now in things that are very basic in the Bible, but maybe very complex to the new person, the new convert within the church. Amen. So let's get into God's word here this day. Amen. A time to recognize Jesus by putting on the whole armor of God is the title. How many know that we're in a battle? Amen. And if you haven't gotten hit lately, you ain't alive. You better go check into the hospital. Amen. We're on a battlefield, whether you're in the things of the world or the things of the Lord. This world is standing upon a great battlefield right now that it seems like the enemy has the upper hand to. But biblically, that is not truth. If it was, I wouldn't be standing before you here this morning ready to preach the gospel. I'm going to pull some points from a message we just had a few weeks ago, because I think it's such a great process of what King Jehoshaphat needed when there was a battle about to take place that he knew they couldn't win. And it was what he did and what God said through the man that applies even to the day that we live today. Amen? So I need everybody paying close attention here this day. If you're still not taking notes during the message, that's fine. But I challenge you, even if it's little chicken notes, to write notes, amen, down for you can retain better, amen, for you can focus better, amen. It's easier to focus when really listening to write instead of just listening to listen. There's times that we can miss very important details, amen. And if you haven't purchased a Bible yet, you're going to be purchasing one right after the service. And I'm going to make it available to you, the very one I read, the very one Pastor Felipe reads, and many of the leadership. Amen. It's a very powerful daily walk Bible. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. I'm not going to preach the message again. I'm just going to draw the process of what worked for King Jehoshaphat. Amen? I want to open up with 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. And if you don't have your Bible with you, every verse preached here this day will be on the screens as well as those viewing through Facebook. Amen? I'm excited here this day because I know others from different states are viewing right now the message that's taking place out of all places, Victor Outreach Milwaukee. Amen? Who would have thought that others would look this way? Amen? But it's because God's doing something fresh and new. Amen? That's got people's attention. Verse 12 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Here the king of Israel is in distress. Amen. He's tripping out. So he calls unto God. And he says, "O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you glory. Give you honor. And even though some may not know what to do right now in their current situation that they're in, we know that we can look unto you, Lord, here this day. We can look unto your word here this day that was given that day. And the results was a great victory. Speak here this day, Holy Spirit. Open hearts, open minds, and allow a shift to take place here this day. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's go back to that verse, amen. Verse 12. It says at the end that we do not know what to do. This wasn't a new convert in the church. This was the king speaking. Has anybody ever been in a place where you don't know what to do? And something takes place in a man or a woman, whether lost or in Christ. Because those times are sure to come. Times in when we're not certain, not sure in what to do, what's our next step. Especially if you're a father and you're a mother and you have children and there's people that are counting on you. Has anybody ever been in a place where you do not know what to do? It's funny how in those times of us not knowing what to do, that God's grace and mercy is able to step in for us to look to Him for our help. So if you are in that place of not knowing what to do, the next step in your life, I tell us all to recognize Jesus, to look unto Jesus, because He knows what to do. In each and every one of our different scenarios and situations that might be taking place within our lives. And because He does know what to do, He's going to be speaking today to His sons and daughters. He's going to be giving instructions for us to follow so that it may look like we know what we're doing. But the truth is, we don't know what we're doing. We find ourselves today in the church. We find ourselves viewing through Facebook on a Sunday morning, some viewing from California. It's 9:20 over there in the morning. You could be asleep. But for some reason or another, you find yourself even in your living room. Because I believe everybody needs help this day in age that we're living in. There's some areas within our lives that we don't know what to do. There's some areas in question within our lives that we need answers to. And I truly believe with all my heart and spirit that this day the Lord is going to speak to you and give you the much needed instructions to where you're currently at right now within your life. Hear the King with all the authority and power and wealth did not know what to do. Not even for his own life, more or less for the people of God. Qu- Question. Is there a battle you're currently in right now, or one you're just about to face, that has you right now feeling powerless? Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army. Have you ever felt powerless within certain situations taking place within your life? Have some of you felt powerless for years and years and years looking for that change within your life, and still it has not come? And it can bring you to a point and a place within your life where you feel powerless. That nothing you do seems to work, even if it's something good. That area is still confronting you. Well, the good news of the gospel here this day is that Jesus is going to give you a breakthrough in that situation you're in right now, because he's going to show you the way out by following his instructions here this day. I want to teach you here this morning and over the next few weeks, I want to teach you how to become victorious in two ways. I want to teach you how to become victorious, how to live a victorious life in Christ. Even if there's times that you don't know what to do, don't mean that you have to be defeated. I want to teach over the few next coming weeks, like I said, in two areas. One, teaching through God's word. Not what Pastor Charlie says, but what God says. In order for a son or daughter of his to live a victorious life in Christ. And the second thing I want to model and teach and show in the next coming weeks is my battlefield years of experience that have worked for my life, where I find myself still standing strong in the Lord and growing stronger 23 years later. So I want to be able to give you my battlefield experiences that I know work if you apply them to your life. Amen? I truly believe with all my spirit that God has prepared me for such a time that we're living in right now. To step out by faith and preach the gospel with power, with authority, with a great faith, expecting results, expecting the sons and daughters of God to bear fruit in abundance. I believe it with all my heart. Even at up to this point, if you have not borne fruit, I want to let you know that a change is coming your way through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you apply it in your life, you shall bear fruit. It works for anybody that applies the Lord's instructions. For drug addicts, alcoholics, prostitutes, nobodies. It even works for very educated people, very successful people. Because we can be successful and still be failing within our lives. We need the success that Christ brings. And that is the only type of success that is able to fill a man's life, to fill a woman's life, a young person's life. Whether you are part of Victory Outreach local church, or I put here, or from some other state or country listening this day, there's no distance in what prayer can't do. Amen? Faith comes by hearing the word. So it's not just for us that are here present this day, but this victorious life in Christ is even for those that are viewing through Facebook Live right now. I want you to be stirred right there. This pastor's talking to me, not just his church, but he's talking to my life also. As the body of Christ, to be in position and activate the word of the Lord, as the body of Christ, if we're going to have the victory, we're going to have to, one, get in position and activate God's word. And if you're not willing to get in position and to activate God's word within your life, I can't help you. Guess who else can? Not even God can help you. If you want godly results from your life, you're going to have to activate His word. You're going to have to apply what brings victory unto one's life. You can't just hear the word this day. Though it starts there, and that is important. You're going to have to apply it. And if I was able to apply it, being a full-blown heroin addict, many years in prison, from the mafia to being a drug addict in the streets, with not the greatest education, if I was able to do it, I'm convinced that anybody can do it. But the question is, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want different results within your life? Are you tired of the same results that lead nowhere but backwards? And I believe within my heart that there's a people here this day that are ready to make that change, ready to make that shift, ready to do whatever they got to do in order to live a victorious life in Christ. I believe the Lord's been speaking and is about to do something great for His people that trust in His word. In the instructions that are about to come forward here this morning. So I have a question here. Are you ready for God's word of instructions that brought victory back then to King Jehoshaphat? Because the book of Hebrews says in 13:8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The same God that brought the victory to the king and the people of God over 2,000 years ago hasn't changed. And because He hasn't changed, and because there was victory then, there was also heavy persecution. Not only has God not changed, but His word and instructions unto His people have not changed. The word that won a great victory 2,000 years ago is still alive and active, being able to produce victory here today. There's persecution taking place right now, not just in Milwaukee, but all over the world. And I believe like never before God's word's going to come in such a way where it's going to bring the believing believer great victories. Great victories that others in the family are going to see the great victories and also want those great victories within their lives. Because when a man and a woman is having victory and changes and a shift is taking place within their life, it brings and catches attention from others that are being defeated right now. Your victory is not only for you, but God intends to use your personal victory to work through your personal victories to work with somebody else's life. We serve the same God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm giving real basic stuff, but it's time to follow the basic 101 stuff of the Lord. The word the Lord has given me is deliverance. There's a lot of saved people in the church today. But there's still a lot of people that are in the church that are not yet been delivered. Set free. Bondage is broken. Mindset's broken. And I believe over the next few weeks, I say that over and over, because it's going to happen quick. It's going to happen quick. That there's going to be a great deliverance taking place in the people of God's lives. I want you to, that's a good time to give the Lord a good clap offering right there where you're at. It may not be a drug deliverance you need. But there's many different types of deceiving powers of the enemy that he uses that one needs deliverance from in order to live a victorious life in Christ. There's many ways the enemy stops the man of God in the making, the woman of God in the making, the young person of God in the making. It's just not addiction. That's just one that is very visible, one that you can see openly on a street corner in somebody's house. Yeah, he or she's all messed up. She's an alcoholic. She's a heroin addict. You don't have to be a believer to believe they're messed up. But there's other deceiving powers of the enemy that cannot be seen, that at times cannot be detected from my life within your life. But I know one that knows all things, and he is the great deliverer. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and he is here today to bring deliverance unto his people, not just a salvation. He's not here just to get you out of Egypt, but I believe with more purpose he's here to get you into your promised land. We're going to have a baptism next Saturday there at the lake. It's real important that you be baptized in water, amen? And all the water baptism represents is just a man or a woman that has already, it's an outer confession is what it is, of the inner work that has already taken place in their life. God is moving in your life right now. Amen. He's doing a hidden secret work within you that you know it's from him. And what we're doing at the lake when we get baptized in water, what we're doing, it's an outer confession that says and declares before all, I today am a Christian. I'm a man of God in the making. I'm a woman of God in the making. I'm a youth of God in the making. And as you go down in Christ, and you're resurrected in Jesus. You declare that you're now, your life now is in Jesus. It belongs to Jesus. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 3, I'm going to be taking little bits off of that message to bring direction to what I really want to say. It's a real good process here of what the king did to bring God into the picture of defeat that still applies to the church today. And the Bible reads that Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. At this point, I want everybody listening, amen? We're upon God's business right now. Instructions are going to start going forth right now. Some of you are saying, Lord, Pastor, I already got all kinds of instructions. No, you're going to get them from God's word right now, amen? The king would call to God for guidance. The battle that was right around the corner was one that he knew couldn't be won. So he went for guidance unto the Lord. How many here this day need the guidance of the Lord? Amen? We got to stop following him or her. We got to stop following self. And we need to follow the guidance of the Lord here this day. Amen? We need to stop wasting time. So here we find out that Jehoshaphat was not only terrified with the news, but he begged the Lord for guidance. And that he also put everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So now I'm just going to start giving instructions that we must follow in these upcoming weeks. This church is going to grow. If your life is going to grow, if your marriage is going to grow, if your children is going to grow, the call of God upon your life is going to grow. It depends on these next instructions that are going to be given. And they come straight from God and His Word. Amen? I want to speak about fasting. To have a clarity unto God's guidance, one must fast. Fasting allows one to see more clearly, to discern more clearly, to be able to see between the lines what God is wanting to accomplish within your life and how He's wanting to guide you in the battle you're in right now that you ain't winning. Real small notes. I always say Mickey Mouse notes. I'll say it. My wife says, stop calling them Mickey Mouse notes. But they are. They're 101 basic notes here this day. I know the audience, and I don't need to be up here talking really polished. I'm here upon God's business. To have clarity unto God's guidance, one must fast. My next note says, the men's rehab fasts on Wednesday. Every Wednesday of the week, they fast. And they eat in the evening. 8:30, 9 o'clock, they eat. It's a biblical practice that they put into practice once a week. It's not only very good for you physically, but more importantly, spiritually, if you're needing the guidance of the Lord and the empowerment of the Lord. Because there are sometimes you get the word, but now you need the power to apply the word. So fasting, I put here, if the rehab fasts every week, the church is going to fast every week. Simple points, but if applied, bring a punch of power in your life and in direction towards the enemy. If the rehab is required to fast once a week, I believe the church should be fasting once a week. And the day the church is going to fast once a week is what? Wednesday. You see, we're in already. See how fast you're speaking it, how it's working already. Some of you are going to have to say no to the flesh if you want the guidance of the Lord. And the flesh is always wanting to eat. It's funny how you can be mad or going through a hard time and not come to church, but you can be mad going through a hard time and not miss a beat when it comes to eating. Some of you eat twice as much when you're going through it. We always say that we give up the spoon, the heroin spoon for the other spoon. And we double up on food. You're going through it, man. You just want to eat. You're going through it. Eating more has never helped nobody or given anybody a good breakthrough. It might give you a breakthrough, but a negative one. So I need a show of hands, man. This Wednesday, pastor's in. Oh, I'm gonna stay focused. I'm gonna stay here. Nobody knows why you're laughing. You don't even know why. Because we got two camera people now. The new camera person's behind the camera right now. They weren't ready to roll right now. Amen. I'm gonna keep it simple. I said, it's time that we put, might as well say his name, Jacob, under pressure, not just use him on a Friday night, but we're going to use him on a Sunday morning to get him a little bit nervous. Praise the Lord. If he wasn't nervous, he is now. The good thing, Jacob, the camera's facing this way, not towards you. Amen. By a showing of hands, who's fasting Wednesday? It's going to make the change in the church. It's going to make the change in your life. And some of the girls are going to even say, Pastor, that was the best idea. I couldn't do it on my own. Getting breakthroughs. And I'm going to have to say in your life, in God's word, or in weight. They're both good. Amen? They're both good breakthroughs. In verse 6, so we're going to need the guidance of the Lord. We're going to have to apply fasting in these days we're living in if we're going to want the victory that God has already designed for us to have. He's just waiting for us to imply his instructions. Apply his instructions. Amen. Verse 6 says that he prayed. What did I put in my notes? If the rehab prays every day, why shouldn't the church pray every day? I want to challenge everybody here this day, those viewing through Facebook, amen, to start your day off with prayer. Whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it will continue to grow, amen? We're going to need the guidance of the Lord, and will allow us to follow the Lord and the guidance of the Lord easier is when we fast and we pray. We slowly but surely start getting spiritually strong. Amen? In verse 17, the Bible reads, but you will not even need to fight. This is the next instruction. Take your positions. Take your positions. You see, there's no way you can ask of the guidance of the Lord and fast and pray out of position. You can't do it. So I'm asking the church in these next couple of weeks to get in position into God's instructions that he has for the church of Victory Outreach Milwaukee and everyone else viewing through Facebook. So if the rehab prays, the church should pray. And we have a praying church. And because of that, starting next Wednesday, prayer is going to be opened up to the church again. Where we get back to the prayer targets. And we step out by faith. And we come to the church to pray in intercession for not only our lives, but for the city, the region, internationally. We learn not only to pray, but to become intercessors, which simply means praying for others. The next thing I will be asking for is church attendance. It's part of being in position. And I also want to declare here this day that now even Friday evening service is going to be opened up to the people. Using caution, wisdom, the social distancing, the spots and everything at the altar here, and what God's about to do. It comes with an order. I want us to be excited, but there needs to be order. So starting next week, we're going to be in position, amen, not just on Sunday, but on Friday and on Wednesday, amen, and through fasting and through prayer, amen, seeking the guidance of the Lord in the times that we're living in. I'm just speaking about 3 days in position at the church. But prayer can be, you can position yourself in prayer every day at your house. Because when we were in the world, we were in position 24/7, 7 days a week. That's how we became who we became. We were in position. But it was out of position, amen? In verse 21, the Bible reads that after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. So on the way to the battle, the king would call singers, worshipers, to go before the army. Amen. Singing praises unto the Lord as if the battle had already been won. Because it wasn't them that was going to be fighting the battle. They were simply just going to be in position. And I believe we have a worship team in position today. The worship team now has two young members. I'm talking 12-year-olds, 10-year-olds being added on to the worship team. I have another brother, amen, about to give up smoking, or already did give up smoking. As a matter of fact, as of last night. I'm going to go smell some fingers to make sure it's so. He's all nervous now. We know if he gets up and goes use the bathroom, he's going to go wash his hands. The evidence. I spoke and declared loudly about a month ago because my boy had a vision from the Lord at 10 years old. And we drew where all these singers were going to be up here, even though there was just two up here. And where the person and the ones with the guitars and the drums and the keyboard and all that was going to be, I spoke it because when he spoke it, it confirmed in my spirit. But God gave it to a 10-year-old that gave it to the pastor that spoke it boldly. Even though it couldn't be seen, it was given by the Lord. And when something of instructions is given by the Lord to your life, as long as you get in position about it, it's going to happen. So I told my boy, you're the only one that sees it, but now I see it. Nobody else sees it. But very soon, the church will all be able to see it. But the first, what the Lord first allowed just you to see. Lord's going to be using very young people to praise him and to worship him with innocent lives, even though they might have seen and experienced a lot of things. They were innocent. And God's going to use these young lives to bring an anointing, a presence upon the church for there to be deliverance taking place. My wife is going to be making CDs. I got a church plan that's been given to me by the Lord that I usually give to couples that I'm working with one at a time. She's going to be making all kinds of CDs that you can play at your house. You can have company even at nighttime. You can just lower the volume as long as it's just faintly in the background. But during the day, if you're there, you want to crank it, you crank it. But I have a CD player, I've been saying it for 18 years now, that never turns off. It runs continuously, night and day, night and day. Night and day, it runs continually, the praise and the worship of the Lord. Even if nobody's home, the praise and the worship of the Lord is still taking place in my home. So my wife is going to be making all kinds of CDs. Connie, when you take the plate sign-ups, the food sign-ups, I want a CD sign-up as well for men and women and youth that say, I want one of those CDs. It's going to be good, clean worship music. That's going to be playing in your house all around the clock, that you can put in your stereo, in your car, that can play everywhere you go. You got to really want this shift, this change. You got to want it all. You got to want it all. Because God is a Father that has all, that is able to give all, but we got to want it. And fifth, the last thing is, being givers, men and women that tithe, that give correctly. If we were able to give incorrectly to a losing cause, way beyond the 10%, amen, I gave it all the way with my life included, to the work of the enemy. And when the Lord is asking for 10%, because he wants to do the 90%, he wants to be the source in your life. But he's looking into your heart if you can trust him with 10%. 10%, I was counseling a brother. I'm not going to say his name, amen. No, I'm not going to say his name. But we were just talking, and he had a problem last time around through tithing. So he's back with us again, doing good. Got a good paying job again. And I said, the first check you get, I want you to tithe, and I want you to throw in a ciego, dope talk, but a $100 bill on top of the tithe. I said, that's nothing. You gave your whole checks over to alcoholism, to the opposite sex. You were left with nothing. You lost your job. You were back in the streets. You gave everything to the work of the enemy, and what did he do for you? I said, this time, give that 10%. Do something different. Expect different results in your life. And I will say, Pastor Felipe always quotes what I say, is, but if you want to live right, you got to give right. And too many times we're givers, but we're giving in the wrong direction because God's given us all good hearts. We always want to help a need and help this person or that person because God created us. But there's times that we place our money upon and in unfertile ground where it's not able to produce anything. But when you do it unto the Lord, it's able to produce 30, 60, 100 more than was sown. And I say it again because every time I talk about giving, it comes up in my spirit. But I heard it many, many years ago. It's from a book that you can get an apple, you can cut it in half, and you can literally count the seeds in that apple. If you dissect that apple, some might have 5, some might have 7, 8 big old black seeds in there. You can count how many, this is what multiplication does, amen? This is what godly seed is able to produce. You can count how many seeds are in an apple, but when you plant that apple seed, you can't count how many apples are in that seed. You can't count it. One seed is able to make groves and groves of orchards of apples. One seed. And that's what, when you give unto the Lord, is able to do for your life. It's able to produce way beyond the 10% that you dropped in the basket. But too many times we have a tight grip when we get saved on that money, and we had a real loose grip on it when we were in the world. You're going to have to become a tither, a giver. From the very first day I was saved, amen, I was a giver. And I'm still a giver today. Because I know it works, and it has blessed my life, my marriage, my children, this church. And I say it again, I really believe the reason we're here. It was when I was a brand new convert in Salinas, California, amen, and I had a minimum paying job back then. It was $4.25, working at a gas station in a lube place. I never worked a day in my life. I was a drug dealer. And here I am working minimum wage. Amen. $4.25 an hour. I really believe because I was able to tithe off the very little, 10%, God was able to trust me with the much. God was able to trust me with the much. Many say, Pastor, when I get the better job, I'll start giving. No, if you can't give with the little, you ain't going to give when you got the much. I really believe this facility and the school and the house and everything we own today could possibly be from 23 years ago of me tithing unto the Lord off a $4.25 an hour job, a little one-bedroom apartment, a $500 car, and I was still faithful to the tithe. The tithe works so fast, so quick. Tell me how. Within that gas station, there was a pretty, pretty girl. She was a fox. She was like, dang, she was... Oh, her name was Marlene. God is able to do a lot with a $4.25 minimum paying job by simply giving 10%. That's where I would meet my wife. At this job down the street was the first time I set eyes on her. I just happened to be cruising with her brother that I didn't know from Adam's apple. And her little kid, which was Alex at the time, was crossing the street. I'm fresh out of the penitentiary, amen? And I said, "Woo, we," I said, "dude, man, we got to find out who she is." He goes, "Watch it, that's my sister." True story. Your minimum paying job in the hands of God can do signs, wonders, and miracles, but you're going to have to trust them with that minimum paying job. You got to start somewhere. It just makes the miracle that greater when God can use a minimum paying job instead of a high paying job. It just makes God that much greater. Pastor, man, you know, by the end of the week, I ain't got nothing. And you still ain't got nothing because you still ain't trusting God. Bouncing from job to job. Quitting here, quitting there, quitting here, quitting there, and never growing an experience in any trade or any job. Trusting God. It's time to apply God's word here this day. I put here, Tim, if you can get to the booth, please. You might have to lower the lights a little bit from the altar. You can go ahead and do that right now, please. I believe when we put these principles to work within our lives, this is what takes place. Amen? Go ahead and put the picture out there, please. Lower the lights, Tim. Not the sanctuary, just the altars if you can. Just, I want the people writing notes. I want them to see their paper. Amen? It's the armor of God. We agreed in the beginning that we are on a battlefield. And because we are on a battlefield, we need armor. If you're a gang member, you had armor. You had a gun. Jacob, if you could kindly please put the focus, because there's people viewing on the screen. It's going on there through there. I got you. My bad. See, we all mess up, Jacob. My bad. When Paul was in prison there, he was shackled to a Roman officer, and the guy that was on guard that had Apostle Paul was dressed like this. And here's where Paul would look and say, man, this guy's covered from head to toe. Ain't nothing getting through that. I'm going to be an obedient inmate. And he would view this armor that this Roman officer would wear that he was shackled to. And this is where Apostle Paul would get the full armor of God for your life and my life. I believe if we pray and we fast and we give and we read and we follow and we come to church and we put ourselves in position, what really takes place, you will be putting the full armor of God on upon the battle you are in right now. You're no longer looking like some civilian not packing, but this is what you will look like when you apply God's word to your life of what has been given to you right now. It's called the full armor of God. Scripture says in Ephesians 6, 1 through 18, we're going a little long, baby, but it's worth it. Amen. Next week, we're going to start breaking it down. Amen. Scripture reads from 1 through 18, says, children, obey your parents. That don't sound like it's right. Ephesians chapter 6. Go all the way down to verse 10. It was my fault. I gave it incorrectly to them. Just add a zero. Make it a 10 through 18. A final word. I know there's some viewing right now that heard probably 1,000 messages on their armor. God, we're going to chop it up a little different. I know there's men, women here that already know about the armor of God. We're going to chop it up a little different. But I also know that there's new people learning this right now. And the Bible reads, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Don't move it there. Verse 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. How can we be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power? Verse 11. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Against all strategies, not some strategies, but the full armor of God covers all strategies of the devil. If we're seeking guidance from God, if we're fasting, if we're praying, if we're in position coming to church now, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, I left one out, and that's the streets. I'm putting a team together to get in the streets, because that's part of the full armor of God, of the shoes of the gospel. We need all the armor of God. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm. How many want for the very first time to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil? Verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Amen? Too many trying to fight by what they can see and what they're going through. Still trying to fight with these. Say, well, you want something with me? We can do this however you want to do it. Nowadays, they're pulling that piece so quick, so fast. Because nobody wants to lose. Nobody wants to die. Fist fighting is a thing of the past. Anybody can win today. Or should I say, anybody can die today. And the Bible tells us, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. It's not something you can see that you're up against. What you see that you're up against is just a manifestation of what you can't see. That's taking place behind the scene, that fasting covers, that prayer covers, that the Word of God covers, that being in position covers, that giving covers. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. And that's why many are being deceived, because they're being taken out by something they can't see. Even if you have a gun, you're still going to lose the fight against the work of the enemy. But against rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers. They don't say little powers. Mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Go to 13. Therefore, he repeats it again, therefore. There's an importance to the full armor of God put on. And the only one that can put on the full armor of God upon your life is you. I might be your spiritual father, but I ain't going to put your clothes on for you. Amen? Because I'm here to raise up men of God, women of God, that know how to stand against the wiles of the enemy, the schemes and strategies of the enemy. Therefore, put on every piece. See, we can't leave one out. All the enemy needs is a weak spot. A blind spot within your life. That's why we got to put on the whole armor of God. That's why we got to follow those 5 points I opened up with of instructions. Of the fasting, the prayer, and position, and word, and giving. We got to follow those 5. That allows us to dress ourselves in the full armor of God. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist. How many have had a problem about resisting lately? What you shouldn't be doing or touching. It possibly could be that you're not having the full armor of God upon your life? Are you leaving out a few of the points I've made from 1 through 5? Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Shando. I've been in a lot of battles, and I'm still posting up. I'm still standing firm. Because I do the 1 through 5 things in my life every day. I'm just like a man here like anybody else. But I'm applying those 5 points that I gave you from the experience of my battlefield experiences that come from God's word, that have been applied in my life, that bear fruit to allow me to stand firm here this day and preach the gospel. A gospel that the enemy does not want me preaching. And if I got to take a few licks after the service, I'm okay with that. Because I'll do anything for the flock, for your victory here this day. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Then after the battle. What does that mean to you, then after the battle? That says there's a battle. A battle's going to take place. Then after the battle tells you and I there's no way around the battle. For some of you say, Pastor, battles, put an S on that. Apostrophe S-S-S. But I believe too many times the battles we fight come from our own lives. It's not even a battle that's from the enemy. It's you, yourself, and yourself. You see, when you're not doing God's will, you won't be strong enough to resist the enemy, whether it's through him or her, drinking, smoking, whatever it is, working too many hours, I don't know, whatever it is, because too much of anything can be harmful for you, amen? Go to the next verse. Stand your ground. How many want to be able for the first time to be able to stand your ground even in the midst of the battle? Paul was there shackled up in prison writing, stand your ground. Stand your ground. Putting on the belt of truth. And here he goes to break down the parts of the full armor of God. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. Go to the picture, please. The belt of truth. Amen. See my little fancy red dot? Cost us $40 for this thing. Amen. Belt. Got the shh. It's funny how gangsters sag with their pants down to their knees, with their rear end sticking out. I remember being on the side of the church in the alley, just minding our own business. A couple of guys in the rehab, we were in the alley kicking it on 25th and National. And this guy comes ripping around the car, goes, aah! 4 or 5 guys jump out of it. And one's running down the alley towards us, amen? And his pants were to his knees. 5 seconds later, his pants were at his ankles. He falls. Everyone else got away. He got caught because he didn't have the belt of truth. Amen? He didn't even have a regular belt on. And he still wanted to fight with his pants at his ankles. It was like he was shackled already. And he's trying to throw him from the ground, butt naked. And every last cop was macing this guy. Just mace. Just put buckets of mace on his face. And I believe there's too many spiritual Christians sagging without the belt of truth in their life. Be sagging. You always talk about the cat on the north side, south side, man, pick up your pants. You're the man, when did they pick up their pants? Pick up your pants. And I tell the man of God in the making, the woman of God in the making, pick up your pants with the belt of truth. Pick up your pants. Now, you don't have to do it like, what's his name? What? Huh? Steve Urkel. You don't have to do the belt way up here, because there's gangsters in California that do it way up here. Go figure. Amen? I don't know about you, but the belt is right there in the midsection. It's not here at the ankles. Or is it up here in the chest? It is where the belt belongs. Too many trying to look like somebody else. You want to look like the man of God? That's the way, that's where you wear the belt. Amen? Period. Some of you just might have to buy a smaller belt that just might, I don't know. Well, problem. I'd just be wearing a big belt. I don't know. Okay, back to scripture. Putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. Let's go to the next one, 15 and rolling. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be able to fully prepare. Be prepared, amen? NLT says shoes. Our picture says boots, baby. I like the boots better. Put some army boots. Get suited and booted, amen? So here are the boots, the readiness to spread the word. That's where the evangelism is, right there. You can't go spread the word without your feet, amen? You can't apply God's word without applying God's word without feet. Too many are able to speak God's word, but they don't apply it through the feet. Amen? Back to scripture. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop, leave the scripture there, to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Go ahead and go with the picture. But where we're at right now, the breastplate or the faith? Shield of faith. Amen? This bat here, the one they go. Amen? It says to stop the fiery arrows of the enemy. I did a preaching a long time ago when the enemy, he's not an Indian where he's shooting arrows. Amen? Like the Indians do. Amen? But he shoots fiery arrows. Fiery arrows, to me, what it simply represents, that he don't have to hit the mark with that arrow. If that arrow's on fire, he just got to hit close. And the fire with time will eventually catch up with you, amen? It's like back in the days that would catch a hut on fire, and the Indians, they were just famous catching huts on fire, amen? The Indians. And before you know it, the whole house burns down, amen? But the shield of faith is able to quench. In other words, it's able to extinguish, turn off the fiery arrows of the enemy. They come, they not only don't make their hit, they're extinguished. The fire's taken away from the work of the enemy. Scripture. Put on salvation as your helmet. Now we're going to the headpiece. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Picture. Helmet of salvation right here. Amen. Where the mind is located. Amen. Where all the thinking goes on. We need a helmet to protect our thinking. Amen. And then it goes on to say, the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword. Amen. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God. I truly believe in my spirit. Let's go to verse 18 and closing. The Bible says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. How can we get to a place in praying in the Spirit and to pray in every occasion and to pray for others? How do we pray in the Spirit? We got to get past ourselves. If you want to pray in the Spirit, you're going to have to get past your life, your problems, before you're able to pray for someone else, amen, and be an intercessor, amen? How are we going to be able to pray in the Spirit and not just be concerned with our own lives, but concerned for others? Amen? It's by putting on the whole armor of God. By putting on the whole armor of God. So we opened up with God's guidance that the church is going to start doing through fasting, through prayer. Verse 6, he prayed. Verse 17, he take your positions. Verse 21, appointed singers. There's a praise and a worship that's not only going to take place in the church, but at your house. At your house. In your vehicle. And givers. We're going to have to give. What you see here and everything, it's not free. We have big properties. This just a little red bee thing costs $40, man. I'm going to take it back. You can get them for $10. Everything costs us finances. There's nothing better being part of God's plan and one of God's disciples. Because we've tried everything beyond these church walls. It doesn't work. And if it does, it works for a season. It works for a season and it just gets old. Even if you're successful, it just gets old because inside, you know, there's something more, something greater that you're not yet tapped into. So I've given instructions. We're going to got those five things. Anybody wants to speak to me? I only have about seven Bibles. Bring me one real quick, Jason. Amen. Show me how fast you can move. I knew you still had it, Jason Johnson. You're breathing hard on the way back. This is something through Pastor Herb many, many years ago. It just had a different cover many years ago. I read a little bit. I got about four or five. They're real old ones there in my office. But another season came a couple of years ago. I started reading and I started saying, man, I really like this Bible. It just broke it down because the Word of God is sometimes hard to understand. Amen. But I got about seven of them. They cost us, I think, $13 a piece. I'm selling them for $13. Amen. If there's a man or a woman that does not have $13, I'm going to give you one of these Bibles. Amen. I'm giving you God. I'm giving you all the instructions of the five come from His Word. The Word was God and God was the Word. This book is so important to your life. It's the foundation to everything that we need to follow in order to live successful lives. If you're like me, most people don't like reading. Most people didn't like school. Most people didn't. Amen? But man, God's able to do something, man, in a man's life, in a woman's life that wasn't that good at school or didn't like school at all. Amen. My wife, I always said seventh grade, but her last grade of school was in the eighth grade. And she runs the office, does numbers, computers, and does all that stuff. Makes me look bad in that department, amen? Because that's not my cup of tea. But I think I have about seven of them. They're $13. They're prayer books, daily walk Bibles. They're fantastic. If you read every day for the 10 minutes, in 1 year, you read the whole Bible, amen? It's been about, I don't know how many years, I'm still reading the same one. There's other ones you can get to change the flavor up a little bit. I'm just still with this one. I just like it. Amen. But I'm going to have a stand here this day. The altar call is going to be right there where you're standing. Right there where you're standing. The church is being challenged right now for victory. I just don't want the rehab to be in victory. Why are they in victory? Because they're applying those 5 points. They don't give 10% of their earnings. They give it all. Any jobs or anything that's done, all goes to the church. They're tithing 100% of their work. But there's a whole group of them that are real around the corner from graduating that they can go out and get their own job and start applying the tithing principle where their money can go in the right direction. Right there where you're at. This service was a very important one. I'm going to start preaching on all the parts of the armor. I'm going to have life-size armor, Roman armor officers up here next Sunday. Amen. Haven't found one yet in Amazon. I might just dress up one of you guys. Make you stand here all day like a Roman officer. How bad do you want your victory? You're 5 steps away. 5 steps away. Your job ass is 10 times more than the 5 points I preached about. 5 points. Apply them in your life and watch what God does. Watch what God does. I want you to raise your hands right there where you're at. There's a very, very important altar call right here at your chair, right there where you're at. God's going to bring the increase in your life, to this church, to the inner city, even to the suburbs of Milwaukee. Father, I pray here this day. If I was able through your grace and mercy to apply these 5 bullets, these 5 points, Lord, I know that every man and every woman and every young person can do it. I'm sure of it, Lord. I'm sure of it, Lord. I'm sure of it. I was ready, as the song says. I didn't think I was ready, but when I heard the gospel, something within said it was my time. I was ready. Father, and I pray that you touch that man, that woman, that young person in such a way that it's going to be contagious, that it's going to have an influence on other family members, cousins, neighbors, at the workplace. Let that man become contagious. Another man wanting what he has. Let that woman become contagious. Another woman wanting what she has. Found in those 5 points preached this day. Touch them right there where they're at, Lord. Touch them right there where they're at, Lord. Fill them right there where they're at, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Tell the Lord, here I am. Ready and willing. I walked in not knowing what to do, but I'm walking out knowing what to do.